Tell us about the evolution of Avatar. I mean, truly a high-risk film that just turned out to be a blockbuster. I suspect deep down inside you probably knew that all along, but what was the evolution of that?
Well, I think you have to have a certain confidence that what you're doing and what you're going to show people is going to be well-received, or you'd be a fool, you know, going and raising hundreds of millions of dollars to do it. But you never really quite ahead of time can gauge the impact that it's going to have and how well it's going to be received. In the making of Avatar, I was trying to achieve a kind of waking dream state for the audience, and the 3D was a part of that, the choice of colors, the type of shots, which are flowing, you know, it's not very choppy, which allows you to stay in a kind of a state or sustain a feeling for a while. The use of flight, the use of you know, kind of phantasmagorical images like the glowing forest and so on. The floating mountains, which creates a kind of real but surreal kind of quality. All that was done, you know, on purpose to create a sense of almost a, you know, an out-of-body experience or something that maybe takes you back to childhood memories of flying you know, I mean, I just make associations as an artist, and sometimes I try not to over mediate my own choices, not think about it too much, not try to justify it in some narrative fashion, but just have an instinctive response.
And you've got a re-release coming out in the theaters on Friday. There's 9 minutes of some additional footage here. What can we expect here with that?
Okay, well, the 9 minutes is basically the kind of the greatest hits of the stuff that we felt that we had to take out for overall running time reasons. So we've gone back and you know, sort of looked at, well, what are the creme de la creme of the scenes we took out, and reinstating those. You know, they don't sort of change the ending of the film or change the beginning of the film, but it's more of an illumination along the way. Some of it's action. There's a big kind of action adventure sequence that we call the Sturm Beast Hunt, and you'll see an animal species that you haven't seen before, and the Na'vi are hunting it, and the way they hunt it is from the air and from the ground, and it's just a very kind of primal scene. It's very exciting. And then contrast that with a very powerful emotional scene between the main characters toward the end of the film, where one of the characters is dying after the battle, and it is quite heart-wrenching. And in fact, I got a lot of flack from my editing team when I insisted on taking it out for you know, sort of pacing and running time reasons.
Well, you've got a feel for this, though, and I think they probably understand that, even though they probably wanted to die and put those in.
Well, I mean, the whole film was pretty experimental in the way it was made, and even in the storyline, you know, taking place in this, you know, otherworldly space, but yet being about the environment and all that. But one of the things that was experimental, which has never been mentioned or written about, is that it's a fairly long film. It's kind of in that epic, you know, kind of classification, and yet it's in 3D. And we had no data about whether people could sit with 3D glasses on the bridge of their nose and not get eye strain or have their brains explode, you know, beyond 2 hours of length. You know, and we were looking at a 2-hour and 40-minute film to release. So I decided to err on the side of conservatism and take out as much from the film as I could and still have the narrative hang together.
Craig, have you found, Craig Webb, with people in the dream state that they can accomplish just incredible things?
Well, it depends if they focus on it. And, you know, the beliefs, the ideas we hold end up being a little bit like the software that make it possible or filter out what might be some real gems. James might be interested to know, I don't know if he knows this either, that Michelle Rodriguez, who played the helicopter pilot Trudy, mm-hmm. and I guess we'll be in again Friday, she actually had a precognitive dream of flying through the Hallelujah Mountains before she was even cast or knew about the film. So, you know, it might be a hint of something really big is coming, and she might not have connected, but she gets this good feeling about it, and when she sees the audition for the part, she says, I'm going to go try for that. And bingo, and it changes many lives.
She accepted the part instantly. You know, I was pitching so hard to talk her into being in the film. I think she'd already made up her mind before she walked in the room that she wanted to do it.
Huh, maybe there's a connection with her dream, but that's interesting to hear.
My wife has precognitive dreams. She's had a number of significant ones, including about us, about us meeting, and so on. I don't think science has been able to explain that yet, but I'm comfortable with the idea that, that science can ultimately explain all these things. It just needs to focus on them and understand them better.
And tell us a little bit about the dream that led to Terminator. What happened?
Yeah, that wasn't a precognitive dream. That was just and I don't get them, at least not that I'm aware of. That was just a nightmare. Seriously, I mean, I was sick. I had the flu. I had a high fever. So in that sort of feverish sleep state, I had a dream about a chrome skeleton in a fire emerging from the fire. And there's an image in and of itself can have a very strong feeling of dread associated with it in a dream that's almost unexplained by the image. We've all felt that, something that's freighted with a strong sense of dread. So I woke up from that, and I thought it was a compelling image, and I started to draw. I didn't start to write the story. I started to draw variations on that theme, and it turned into this chrome skeletal figure, kind of death figure, pursuing a girl. And then I thought, okay, well, let's build a story around that. And then it became a science fiction story. And this chrome death figure came from the future and was, trying to kill her for some reason. What's the reason? Well, her life will have some meaning that is very significant, years hence. And then the story just kind of spun from that.